Hello.
Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control.
Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, God has sent His servant to us. We saw Him minister at the crusade yesterday. But this morning, He's speaking to us as a pastor. A man God is using to raise many pastors worldwide. This conference we are having here has been held in hundreds of countries. Hundreds of cities.
Maguta akawanda.
And today is the turn of Kadoma.
Nasi mukana we Kadoma.
To receive the ministry of Evangelist Dagiwad Mills.
Kuti igamuchire ushumiri wa Evangelist Dagiwad
Mills. And I believe that as he ministers,
ndinotenda kuti isuseva shumiri,
a new pastor will come out of you.
Mufundisi muchacha kubudiswa kubva mauri.
On Sunday, when you go to church,
pauchaenda kuchurch ne Sunday,
your members will notice that something has changed about you.
Vachazoona kuti pane
chinhu chashanduka. Please stand to your feet and let's receive. Evangelist Dagiwad Mills.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the blessing of today. Please guide us by your mighty spirit. Thank you for the wonderful pastors who are here. And thank Thank you for the great work you are doing in Zimbabwe through them. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, you may be seated. Thank you. Is there anybody who doesn't understand only English? Is there, we need interpretation? We are okay. Are you sure we are okay? Great. This morning, I want us to use the opportunity that we have to just one. Yes, somebody can interpret for you. Just one. Because we have just a shorter time, so we will be able to do more, if you don't mind, please. Yeah. Now, the art of leadership, knowledge, amen. Knowledge and the art of leadership. This is a book on leadership. I have a couple of books on leadership. One is The Art of Leadership, and another one is The Good General, which has to do with fighting the war. On Bible says, by this you might war a good warfare. Whether you like it or not, we are in a war. I mean, you don't have to believe it. It is happening. Amen. It's not about faith. It's about what is happening. There is a war, and it's not a physical war. You know, pastors are not fighting a political war. Because when Jesus came and he rose from the dead, even then the disciples thought, Lord, are you going to give the kingdom to us now? Are you going to deliver us from the Romans? And Jesus explained, look, you will receive power after my spirit comes on you and you become witnesses. So it is from the very beginning of the church, you have pastors having a tendency to go and fight in the natural about things. Whereas our war is in the spirit. All right? So many, many times we find that we are completely distracted from our real war. Amen. So this is a beautiful book, The Good General. And this is another book on leadership that will really bless you to be wise as a serpent. What it means to be wise as a serpent. Why do I say that? Because the snake is the most successful predator on earth. It's the most successful. For Jesus to say, you should be as wise as a serpent. You will not find lions even in Ghana, but you'll find serpents. They are found everywhere. And they are most successful, able to survive in the desert. You find them in the snow. You find them, they can fly. They can swim. They can do everything. A lot of pastors cannot do everything. If I send you from Zimbabwe to South Africa, you may not be able to survive. If I send you to Zambia, you cannot do well. If I send you to Ghana, I've never seen a Zimbabwean pastor in Ghana starting a church. I've not met any Zimbabwean pastor in Nigeria who is starting a church in Nigeria. Yeah. When the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, you are sitting in Zimbabwe, clapping for yourselves. When Jesus said, go into the world, and you are criticizing Nigerians who have come to preach to you. Why don't you go there and preach to them? They are also waiting for you there. There are 180 million Nigerians waiting for Zimbabweans to come with the gospel. So you need the wisdom of a serpent, how to survive everywhere. And they also live without eating much. You know, when you are a pastor, you have to have a big house, you have to have a car, you have to have money, you have to have this. Serpent doesn't need much. Once a year, eating, and you are okay. So the modern pastors we have today, who need to go to America, go to England, I have to have this, I have to do this, I have to dress like this. I have to have so many things. That is why we are not able to do much for God. So when you learn what it means to be as wise as a serpent, it will be a great blessing to you. You see, we are here in Zimbabwe. We have been able to come here. We are preaching here in Kadoma, which people are even afraid of. We have been to war zones. Yeah. We have been in different countries. People are afraid. Ebola-ridden countries, war-stricken countries, countries which are 99% Islamic. And we have been able to be there, to have crusade and come out by God's grace. So God is divinely giving you the ability to be in many places and do many more things for Him. Hallelujah. All right. So the serpent is this animal recommended by Jesus. Hey. This is the animal recommended by who?
Jesus.
Yes, the only one. With recommendation of Jesus. Be as wise as a serpent. Yes. A serpent is the animal that changes its skin. And the skin change means a radical transformation. Yes. One day we were doing some repair in the ceiling of the school that we built, Bible school. And the electrician had to go into the ceiling. When he went in, he came out very quickly. So we said, "Why have you come out quickly?" He said, "What I saw." I said, "What did you see?" He said, "I saw the skin of a snake. And I knew that the owner of this skin is in town there. So I decided to come out." Somebody who can change his skin, radically change and transform into something that you are not originally. That is the kind of change that God needs us to be able to adopt if we are going to be great ministers. Because Bible says in a large house there are many vessels. It's not every vessel that can be used to serve visitors. When visitors, at least in Ghana, when visitors come, they take out the best plates and the best glasses. Or you don't do that. Yes, I had that quarrel with my wife when we got married. She brings out the best glasses and the best plates for the visitors. And one day I told her that, "Look, I am the number one visitor in this house. So I want the best glasses and the best plate for myself first. I'm the king of kings in my room. In my house." Do you get it? But you see, it's not every plate or glass you can use for a visitor. You may be using a cracked one, broken one, and it's okay. But for special occasions and for great events, you have to get a good vessel. God wants to use you for great events and special occasions in the ministry. And so in order to be that, you need to be transformed from a cracked vessel, an unpolished vessel, to a special vessel that God can use for special occasions and great events. I see you being used by the Lord for great events. When you hear a great prophecy like that, you must swallow it with a big amen. Amen. You don't have to allow fantastic prophecies to pass by you without swallowing them deep into you with a mighty amen. Hey. The response to the word of God and to the prophecies of the Lord is what? Amen. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yes. So, what it means to be as wise as a serpent. very, very important. This book is available for you. And also, this particular book, Steps to the Anointing, and the Sweet Influences of the Holy Spirit, the Anointing. What is the anointing about? The anointing is the invisible power that a person carries to do the work that he is doing. Without this invisible power, you cannot do much. You just be talking. Look, let me ask you, what is the difference between a school teacher and an anointed teacher of the Word of God? What's the difference between a lecturer in the university and then a pastor who is preaching? What's the difference? Because they are all reading notes. Some pastors even read their sermons. So what is the difference? The difference is the anointing. You see, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. So Jesus Christ told his disciples, do not bother to try ministry without the anointing. That's what in this book, Steps to the Anointing. Now, many pastors are unanointed pastors with Bible school certificate, but no anointing. You see, there is something invisible working when people are doing things. Yes. You know, I myself have never seen, but I've had a number of people saying things that they saw. One of the first times was in South Africa many years ago. I was in Durban. I was preaching in a tent. There was an old lady, she must have been about 80, 70 or 80. When I finished preaching, she said, yeah, Herman, come here. When an old lady calls you, you better go. So I went, she said, sit down. I sat down after preaching. She said to me, do you know that when you are preaching, Jesus was walking behind you? He was pacing up and down like this. I said, no, I had no idea. We had had a miracle service and whatever. She said to me, I see visions as clear in three dimensions. She told me, an 80-year-old white lady. I don't know her from anywhere. I never seen her again. Just saw her for 5 minutes and that was it. She said, do you know that Jesus was walking? She said, I see visions in three dimensions. Like if it's a chair, it's real. She said, Jesus was walking behind you whilst you were preaching. And she told me, it's a very rare thing. That's what she said to me. I didn't say. She told me it's a very rare thing. So there are invisible forces working behind every ministry. And that's why Jesus said, don't even waste your time. Wait in Jerusalem for the power of the Holy Spirit. Wait. That is why when Saul was anointed, the Bible says he was turned into another man. It was when he was turned into another man that he could do the work that he was doing. That's why Elisha said to Elijah when he was going, you know, this is something pastors don't see. When Elijah asked, what do you want? What do you want? Most pastors would have asked for money. Is it not true? Or a visa to leave Zimbabwe. I am not coming from a rich country. I've never lived in Europe before, and I've never lived in America. I've lived in Ghana all my life, from the time that I was born till now. I've only lived in Ghana. I've never been to school outside Ghana. I don't come from a rich country. The country I come from is a country that was once declared to be, what is it called? Highly indebted and poor country. I'm not coming from a rich country. My church is in the poorest part of that poor city. Yes. With nothing. When I started my church, all my members were students. I didn't have any grown-up in the church. Everybody in the church was a child. When I got married, we didn't have instruments in the church. We had to rent instruments. Yes. My wife and I used to sit down after church to discuss. I don't know whether you eat corned beef. Do you eat corned beef? You know corned beef? Do you know corned beef? Yeah. Do you eat it here or don't eat corned beef? Yeah. We used to discuss. We used to put money together to buy one tin of corned beef after church. The same church, I mean. We are now in 72 countries with many huge churches. Yes. So I'm not coming from a rich, I'm not American. I've never lived in America before. And the longest I've stayed in America is a few days. So some of you feel that, oh Lord, if you give me American money, I can do many things for you. No. What you need is not money, but the anointing. I know some of you here, if Elisha had asked you, what do you want? You would have said, please, can I have your bank account in America? Some of you say, Elijah, if you can give me your house. Some of you would have said, oh, Elijah, I like your wife. When you die, can I marry your wife? Hey! But Elisha was having his eyes on one thing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. May you have your eyes on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. One day, a pastor was sitting right in front there, and he was about to introduce a lady pastor to preach. And instead of having his eyes on the anointing of the lady, his eyes were somewhere else. So he made a terrible mistake when he went to introduce her. He forgot himself. And he went on stage and said, today we are really blessed. We have a lady pastor who has come to minister to us. Shall we welcome this lady pastor who has mighty powerful breasts to come and minister to us today? It's a true story. She, mighty breasts. Let us welcome her to come and preach to us. Yes. You see, some of us pastors, our eyes are on the wrong things. He was focusing on her breast and not focusing on the anointing. And some of us are focusing on the anointing. We are focusing on, maybe you are from America. Maybe if I go to America, if I get visa, if I get... Focus on the anointing. And no matter which hole you are in, no matter which corner you are in, God can use you to do what eye has not seen and ear has never heard about. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, I want you to believe in the anointing. Sweet influences of the anointing. Steps to the anointing. And another beautiful one here. The anointed and his anointing. I don't know if it's here. All right. The anointed and his anointing. And this one, catch the anointing. Catching the anointing. Yes. Why am I introducing these things to you? Because the anointed, I have more books on the anointing. The anointing is the most beautiful thing a pastor must seek for. Yeah, I want to encourage you, pastors. Don't take your eyes off money. Most of us are always thinking of money and preaching about money too. And the money is still not coming. True or not true? Yes. Focus on the right things. And God is going to bless you mightily in the ministry. Amen. Now, I want to share with you something small. And the reason I'm sharing this is because it's very important, the art of leadership. One of the main things, if you travel around Africa, is you see that in Africa, our greatest difficulty is in leadership. Leadership. Is that not the case? So, the art of leadership is a very important thing for us. So, what are some of the things in the art of leadership? Very important. We have 127 different things about a good leader. All right? And the art of leadership. But I just want to share with you one or two of them. Amen. And then we are done for the day. And number one is never use wisdom without power and power without wisdom. Amen. Never use wisdom without power and power without wisdom. Amen. Wisdom is very important in what you need to do, because God has said so many things about wisdom. Amen. The second important point is about reading. Amen. Reading. And in my book on the art of leadership, we have a very, very important topic of reading. If you cannot lead, you cannot read. Amen. If you cannot read, you cannot lead. All right? Now, reading is one of the things we are not doing much in Africa. True or not true? Do you have that also in Zimbabwe? We don't read. But if you cannot read and you don't read, you should not even be in this room. You should not even be in this room. Now, why is reading important? Because reading exposes you to the wisdom that you need for the ministry. What is wisdom? Wisdom is knowledge that you can use. All right? Now, how many want to do great things for God? Only 6 people. So, the 6 of you who want to do great things for God, I believe more than 6 now, should look with me in Mark chapter 6. And let's look at what it says there. Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter 6. What does it say? Jesus, this was about Jesus' ministry. All right? Jesus Christ's ministry. And it says, when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are wrought by his hands? What wisdom? Everybody say, what wisdom is this? What wisdom is this? What wisdom is this? That such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Amen. So if a person does mighty works, it is because of the wisdom. And the people recognize it. They say, wow, what wisdom is this? What wisdom is this? That such mighty works, mighty churches, mighty crusades, mighty miracles, mighty books, mighty ministry, mighty salvations. What wisdom is this? Whence has this man these things? Where did this man get all these things? That such mighty works are done by his hands. Amen. So one day people are going to say about you, what wisdom is this? That such mighty works are done by his hands. Oh, I didn't hear any good amen from you. Matthew 13 verse 54. Matthew 13 verse 54. What does it say?
And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue.
Yes.
Insomuch that they were astonished.
They were astonished.
And said, whence hath this man this wisdom?
Whence has this man this wisdom?
And these mighty works.
And these mighty works. Where is it from? Where is it from? Okay. So every one of us must look at two things. Mighty works and wisdom. I don't listen to people who have not achieved things. Thank you. Thank you. Today you have a lot of people listening to motivational speakers who have done nothing. I don't know if you have such people in Zimbabwe. They have achieved nothing, built nothing, done nothing, fought for nothing. The only thing they have are debt. If you go into their finances, you see that they are just owing money. And you have Christians and pastors impressed with such things. Owing money is not an achievement. Debt, indebtedness is a social disease. It's a social disease. Indebtedness. Yes. It's not an accomplishment to have a loan. Yes. Amen. I said it's not an accomplishment to have a loan. So, you must look at works. Then, you have to ask yourself, where did this man get this wisdom that such works are done? So, stop wasting your time. Listen to somebody who has nothing to show you and nothing to prove what he's talking about. Yes. One day I took my pastors to Nigeria because Nigeria has some of the greatest pastors and churches. The Bible says the kingdom of God is like a man who found a treasure in a field. You see, treasures are hidden inside fields. So if you are put off by the field, you will never find the treasure.
Right.
Yeah. You have to go through the field before you see the treasure that is hidden in the field. The biggest churches in the world are there. Recently, Bishop Oyedepo from with Winners Chapel, they have the largest church I know about now, the auditorium has 50,000 people in one building. Not computer records. Not advertisements. And outside the church, 52,000 in canopies. And he has 4 services. In one service, 102,000 people. In one service. And he has 4. But 2 are full. And the others are not. He was with me in Ghana. I was sitting by him. I'm interested in such a person. Because it's not just talking. The Bible says, you shall know them. Not talk is cheap. Look, all the ladies here, I can tell you. I love you, I'll marry 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 you. I love I love you. I'll marry you. I love you. It's nonsense. It's just talking. I am not going to marry any of you. I just said it. As for talk, it's cheap. Everybody can get up and start talking. We are not interested in talking for nothing. What wisdom is this that such mighty works? Let's see your mighty works before I read your book. I say, let's see your mighty works before I read your book. I'm not interested in reading your book till I see your mighty works. Hey. I hope you are not offended by what I'm saying. If you are offended, then you should leave now. One day I saw a motivational speaker speaking. Somebody asked me, why don't you listen to that? I said, oh, I don't have anything against, but I need mighty works before I listen. But this man, the only thing I know is that he started a business that didn't work. And in the end, they had to sell his house that he was owing. He was owing so much money. And they have taken all his things. So I don't see it as mighty works. Yes. So we are talking about mighty works that we must look for. And ask yourself, what wisdom has created these works? Like, what type of thinking, what type of knowledge, what type of understanding has created these works? And then you go into that. It is because a certain kind of wisdom creates a certain kind of works. Psalm 104, there's an interesting verse. Psalm 104, verse 24. It says, how manifold are thy works, O Lord? How manifold are thy works, O Lord? In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. How manifold are thy works, O Lord? How manifold are thy works, O Lord? In other words, how plentiful, like manifold means many. How manifold, like how manifold are thy works? The trees, the different kinds of people, the human body, animals, the stars, the planets. All these are mighty works. How manifold are thy works, O Lord? In what? In wisdom hast thou made them all. It is wisdom that is used to make all these works. Yes. In wisdom, thou hast made them all. So the fact that I'm standing here in Kadoma is a mighty work. Because I've never seen a Zimbabwean standing in Ghana to have a crusade. Why don't you come to Ghana to have a crusade? Fly down and bring your equipment and bring your team. Bring your tracks and bring your books. And come and gather a crowd and preach. Yes. Then I'll be interested to listen, to read your books. Yeah. Mighty work. I've not asked you for any money. I've not asked you for anything. You don't have to even give any offerings. It doesn't mean, doesn't affect the crusade. We didn't come here calculate. We have crusade in poor places. We are not looking for money. We are looking for souls. Yes. How manifold or plenty are thy works, O Lord? Many works. In wisdom, thou hast made them all. Through wisdom, you made all these things. That's why when they saw Jesus preaching and teaching, they said, what wisdom is this which is given to him? That such mighty works. If you want to do mighty works in your life and ministry, then you must look for the wisdom that creates mighty works. That's where reading comes in. That's where reading comes in. Through reading, you start to have the knowledge and the wisdom. By God's grace, we have churches in different places. I just came from India. We had a camp meeting of our main church members and leaders. We have India. We have several Indian churches and Indians. Our pastors are Indians in India. You don't understand the message I'm preaching. And Thailand. The pastors from Thailand were there. And in the Philippines, I met with our church. I had a conference, but our church members also came there. We have a church in Manila. Filipino, all Filipinos. I sent people there. And in America, thousands of members. And in England and Germany. Yes, and Italy. Large churches. How manifold are thy works, O Lord? In wisdom thou hast made them all. Now, you ask yourself, and all is the same church. If I call my pastor in Philippines and I say, you are leaving tomorrow, that will be it. She will just move. Some of you cannot even command your choristers to come for a meeting. They won't even come. You can't tell people what to do. They won't listen. I don't know if this place is like South Africa. In South Africa, they don't like to be told what to do at all. Is it the same here? Loyalty, you have to teach it. That's what makes people. The demons, you see, there are demons that are in people, including Christians and pastors. If you don't teach the word of God, you see, let me tell you a simple formula. I'm going to give you a formula you can remember for the rest of your life. And the formula is, what is a demon? Shall I tell you what is a demon? Don't forget, it's very simple. A demon is an imagination. Yes, a thought. It's not the same, but it's like a demon produces imaginations or thoughts. So you can always assume that a thought, when a person has a certain way of thinking, he has a demon in him. You can just assume if a person has a thought line or a certain way of thinking, he has a demon on his shoulder or in his head. That's why the Bible says, our weapons of our warfare are for casting down imaginations. Bringing down certain thoughts so that people don't think a certain way. So you have to teach people against accusations. It doesn't take long as we are coming. I know some people here will accuse us. It's normal. Demonic thoughts are normal. Because the world atmosphere is full of evil spirits. If your eyes open, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked at the spirits that are there. And you know, because I travel, I go to different nations, I sense different types of spirits. Yes. And in the churches, different types of spirits. Yeah. The spirits in South Africa are different from the spirits here. Different. It creates different thoughts. Those who are cute. That is, you see, in South Africa, they say, don't tell, you can't come from your country and tell us what to do. Even at the pastor's meeting when we are organizing for the crusade, they stand up, you can't talk to us like that. You can't come from your country and tell us what to do. The whole country is full of that spirit. You can't come and tell us what to do. And that is why today, you have a nation that can insult their president in a way that I've never been seen in any, you can't see anywhere. No. They can attack any, you are a police, you are authority, you are anything, they can just, it's like, no, there's no, almost no law. Burn down university, burn, we don't want fees, we'll burn down the school. We don't want this, we'll burn this down. We don't want this, you can't come, you can't tell us what to do. It started from anti-apartheid. And it's continued till what we are having. It's a spirit. And it's in the church too. In the church, you can't tell, ushers should come, everybody, aish!
You can't tell us. You can't call us.
You need to teach it to cast down that imagination. Otherwise, it will accuse all the time. Those who are ignorant. Ignorant people are the most rebellious. When you don't know what is involved in being a leader, you always fight against people who are high because you are ignorant. You start singing songs and say, hey, we are going to take over. We're going to take over the church. Do you know what is involved in being a church? Do you know what is involved in having a crusade and coming here? So why should this man come from Ghana and come and tell us, we can have our own thing? We beg you, please. The way you are talking shows your ignorance. Come to Ghana and have a crusade. Then we know that, yes, you are doing what? Mighty works. And stop being ignorant. Amen? Those who forget, you have to teach it. And I'm showing you that's how you can have churches in 70 countries. And none of them will rebel against you or take over the church. The same church. The same church. When I came here, I was welcomed by my own. They are like my own family. Oh, yes. Zimbabwe. You would think I've so many Zimbabwe. Apart from being an in-law to the whole nation, we have our own families. Yeah. Yes. Those who forget. People forget what has been done for them. Human beings, look, the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, God is not unrighteous to forget your works. Some of you here, a pastor laid hands on you, appointed you, forgotten. You sit somewhere, you insult him, and you say bad things about the person who helped you, who anointed you, who appointed you, who introduced you. You've forgotten already what he did for you. Wicked. And if you don't teach against these demons, I said, remember what? A demon is what? I can't hear you. A demon is what? An imagination. Those who forget. Those who pretend. You have them pretending all the time. Judas was number one pretender. You think he was a pastor, but he's not a pastor. He was a devil. Jesus said, one of you is a devil. I wrote a new book. It has just come out. It's called One of You is a Devil. One of you is a devil. Those who pretend. Yes, you have people pretending to be Christians. One day I was preaching in my church and there was a lady who was walking up and down praying. And somebody came to me and told me that, you see the lady over there, the one who is going up, she was praying. She's not a Christian. No. She's not a Christian. She told me she's a spy. She said, I'm also a spy. And I'm telling you that she's a spy. We are all spies. But I'm a loyal spy, so I'm telling you that this one is a spy. You have to teach so that people don't pretend. Because if you become a Judas, look, I tell you, of all the bad people that Jesus met, it was only Judas that he said he shouldn't have been born. Remember the woman with five husbands, all those people, bad Zacchaeus, thieves. He never said it, but for Judas, the pretender, the spy in their midst, the liar in their midst, who was pretending to be flowing with Jesus and counting money and pretending to be helping, but he was actually doing something else. Jesus said, he shouldn't have been born. This is what I used to comfort sometimes the sisters in the church. Sometimes when they become pregnant And around 12 weeks, sometimes they start bleeding and they lose the baby. Many times I encourage them. I tell them, my sister, don't worry, as you seem to be losing the baby, maybe it's Judas who is coming out. So it's better that he comes out. Do you see? It is God's mercy. Judas is bleeding himself out. Iscariot is going out of you. Let him go. Don't worry. God will give you something better. Peter or Thomas or somebody. But maybe it's Judas who is coming out. You never know. And then those who leave you. We have people who leave churches and spoil the church as they leave. Do you have such things in Zimbabwe? You are all part of a church. Then you've left the church. You are spoiling the church, scattering the church. Yeah. And if you are not a wise pastor, you welcome such people. When they go and they spoil the church, they will go. They will come back later and say, we are sorry. Then you pray for them and then exalt them in the church. Let them be visiting the church all the time. Bring gifts and so on. Bring in money. When you do that, you are exalting rebellion. And you are telling others that all you have to do is to spoil the church and come back and say sorry. And then everything will be okay. Yes. And when you read this book, you will see a man called Jeroboam. How he left Solomon and took 10 tribes away, divided everything, and told the people, there is no need to go to Jerusalem. Come to here, Bethel. Come to Dan. You don't need to go to that church anymore. It's as good as there. Here, it's as good as there. You have a lot of people who break churches and they say, don't go there anymore. Why should you go? This is, God is here now. God is moving. Wow. You don't need to be there. You can be here. I'm a man of God. God has come. It's a new wave. It's a new anointing. Can't you see our new bus that we've bought? You've written on the bus, victory today. God is moving. Victory today. Those who leave you, they are the most dangerous. If you are a church builder, this group are the most dangerous. You must prepare all your defenses against such people. John Wesley said, a man who builds a church and does not defend it is like a man who plants a large vineyard and does not protect it from wild boars and wild animals coming to the farm. If you think being a pastor is being a Mr. Nice Man, then you don't understand pastoral work. Pastoral work is partly being nice and partly being a wild man who is defending what he is building. David the singer, who was singing, whatever the Lord is my shepherd, I want to be in your house, oh Lord. I was glad when they said, let's come to that. He's the same man when a lion came, he changed into a wild fighter. Yeah. So the same person in you must be this wonderful, gentle pastor, but at the same time, a wild fighter. Fighting for God's church, fighting for the people, fighting for the church that you are building. If you don't have that wisdom, you are not wise as you are building the church. One day I had a man, you know, a brother in the church. We started a church and he was there for 5 years. And after he came to see me and he told me, he said, you know, he wants to leave. I said, you want to leave? Good. What are you going to do? He said, you're going to start a church in the same city. And I told him, look, you see us, how I'm nice now. I look nice. I said, if you cross a certain line, you wouldn't like me again. What I would turn into in relation to you, you will not like me. Yeah. Because there's another side. A shepherd is a defender of the church. And this guy was a relative. He was a blood relation. I told him, look, you would change everything. If you take even one member, just one. And he said to me, but You have over 1,000, at that time we had over 1,000 churches. You can just leave this side for me. I said, look, if you have 4 children or 5 children in your house, and a visitor comes to visit you, when he's leaving, he takes one. He said, but you've got 4. I'm taking one away. Will you accept it? Will you say, but I have 4, so somebody should steal one of my children? It cannot happen. And he made the mistake and turned himself into an enemy. Oh, yes. And I've had a good fight. Fighting all the things that he's been doing. Oh, yes. Fighting. Bible says, fight the good fight. Not a foolish fight, a good fight. Defending the church. I told him, you not like me. He doesn't like me. Hey, you can't easily like a shepherd who is defending his sheep. Go and ask the lion who came to take the sheep that David was looking at. The lion was surprised that a human being can fight like this. He was surprised. Hey! Those are days without guns. So. The lion was shocked. The lion thought this was going to be easy. He was surprised. Then a bear also tried the same thing. And when the bear came, David said, you didn't ask your friend, the lion, what happened to him when he came. And he killed the bear. That's why when he was going to fight Goliath, the size of Goliath did not frighten him. It frightened everybody, but he had been fighting big things already. You are anointed to fight devils and people that come to spoil the church that God is using you to build. Amen. So loyalty and disloyalty, and this one here, those who are dangerous sons. Huh? A son is somebody you appoint. Look at Dr. Ogo here. I mean, he was a medical student. I appointed him as a pastor. He was still a student. Nobody knew that he was a pastor. I told the people that he is a pastor. He himself didn't know that he was a pastor. I introduced him as a pastor. I officiated I flew to London to officiate his wedding. And many, many things I have done for him. If tomorrow he is now fighting me, throwing bows and arrows at me, then he's a son for sure, but dangerous. God forbid you never be in Jesus' name. Hey. But there are people you have done many things for them. You have taught them, you have trained them, you have appointed them. And they turn, they get up and they take bows and arrows and fight you. Do you have such things in Zimbabwe? Like Ham. His father built an ark and he was in the ark. And one day he saw his father drinking and his father got a little drunk, which is easy to get drunk. But it's not your duty. Tell me when I have a problem. Huh? You are accusing me. Have you reached my age to know whether you can live without being drunk? Huh? Have you reached my age to know whether you can live without ever getting drunk? Be very careful. And he criticized his father. But you see, what he forgot was that God really liked Noah. You see, when you like somebody, you overlook things. So you got to be careful when God is overlooking things. Like Moses and Aaron, when Aaron went and made the ark, Aaron made the ark with Miriam. You know, Miriam got sick, but Aaron didn't get sick. So be careful when you are doing sin with somebody. You'll be surprised that one will be taken, one will be left. Ham forgot was that if Noah hadn't built the ark, he wouldn't be alive to be criticizing his father. Yeah. He would have drowned and been eaten by the shrimps in the sea long time ago. Some of you would never be anywhere if it had not been for somebody. You are a very dangerous and ungrateful son. That's why your ministry is cursed. It can never grow. Oh, yes.
The Bible says the eye that mocketh his father, the raven shall pluck it out. So you are blind spiritually. You mock your spiritual father. You mock your pastor. You mock your bishop. Even when your pastor fell into sin or fell into difficulty, you mock him. So the ravens have removed your eyes and you are spiritually blind and walking in spiritual darkness. Nothing works for you. Nothing works for you. Nothing is working. Nothing is working. Nothing is working. Nothing is working. Because you are an ungrateful spiritual son of somebody. You don't even remember the one who helped you to even honor him on his birthday or any time in the whole year. He will never hear of you again. How can you do well? The Bible says, honor your father that it may be well with you. And that you may live long. Watch out for people who laugh at people who are falling. When David heard that Saul had fallen, David said, this one is tell it not in Gath. This one we don't say. We don't say. Tell it not. Publish it not in Ashkelon. We don't say it. But you have made it your business to say and to spread stories. Wait till you get to that age. The one who you criticize because he fell once, you fall 8 times. And you'll be surprised. Anyway, back to our topic. I was just showing you this loyalty mind and teaching is existing to help, is the wisdom behind building a mega church. If you don't have it, your church will always get to a point somebody will break half. You plant churches, they will take some away. You build, they will scatter. It's the wisdom behind building churches. You need loyalty. It's not automatic. Loyalty is not natural. Disloyalty is natural. Loyalty is unnatural. It has to be taught. Disloyalty is natural because it's satanic nature. And human beings are affected naturally by demons. So naturally, people are disloyal and unfaithful without effort. If you like, don't teach it. And you will see how far you can go with God. Turn to... Where do you want to turn to? Hallelujah. Matthew 16, verse 19. I'm talking about reading. Reading is going to give you the next thing wisdom. Reading is going to give you. Reading is going to give you wisdom. Reading is going to give you keys.
Matthew 16, verse 19. And I will give unto you, unto thee, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And
I'm going to give you the
keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Keys. We are serving in a kingdom with keys. Our kingdom uses keys. Maybe you are not aware. This kingdom where you are serving uses keys. Places are locked. There are houses without keys. There are houses without keys. One time I went to stay in a house in a certain country, and there was no key. All the doors have no keys. So the room that I was going to sleep in with my wife, I asked her, well, we need a key for our room. And they said there are no keys. They said because of children, they don't allow keys because a child can turn the key and lock himself in the room. So they don't have keys to the rooms. I said, I've not heard of that before. But I said, that's what we do here. So there are houses without keys. But many houses have keys. And our kingdom is not a kingdom without keys. It's a kingdom with keys. And that's why many things are locked out of our lives. Oh, yes. Luke 11, verse 52. Luke 11, 52. Luke 11, verse 52. That's why I was asking where you want to turn to.
Luke 11, verse 52.
Yes.
Woe unto you, lawyers.
Lawyers.
For ye have taken away the key of knowledge.
You have taken away the key of knowledge.
Ye entered not in yourselves.
You entered not in yourselves.
But them that were entering, ye hindered.
Those that were trying to go into the room, you hindered them from going into the room. You have taken away the what? The key of knowledge. Knowledge is the key, one of the keys to enter places you are out of. Look at your life and ask yourself, what are the rooms that are locked out to your life? We must have a key to evangelism. That's why we are here. If we have not entered, had a key to evangelism, we will always be reading about it and be reading about Reinhard Bonnke, but not able to enter in ourselves. Key to church growth. Church growth is cut off from many of us. Many of us come to church, our churches are empty. Your church is empty. Nobody in the church. There's a key of knowledge. When we finish, I'm going to offer you a key. These are 40 keys. 40 keys. I made it specially in a package. But you will see some people bypass the keys and say, give me some nyama. Is that what you call it? The meat that you roast, what do you call it? Nyama? Nyama. Give me some nyama. Nyama. Chisa nyama. Is it the same as chisa nyama? Yeah. Gosh. Gosh, gosh. Gosh, gosh. Give me some gosh, gosh. Braai. Yeah. The first time I came to Zimbabwe in Bindura, I had some of your nice meat. Yeah. I know you have meat here. Ghana, we don't have meat like you have. I say, my country, when you are talking about a pastor from a poor place, look at me very well. Yes. The key. I'm going to give you the key. But you see people say,
how much is it? It's too much. The key is too expensive for me.
And they'll bypass the key and go and buy nyama and what do you call gosh gosh. Is it true or it's not true?
It's true.
The key of knowledge. What other rooms? Let's look at the rooms which you are out. Church planting. Church planting means having many churches. There is a key to planting many churches. We have planted about 3,000 churches. It is small. We are looking at more. 3,000. Yes, planted real churches with people and members. Different nationalities. Key to church buildings. Buildings. Many pastors have churches, but no building. No church building. There's a key. We have almost 1,000 building projects. Yes. It's a key. Many of you are cut out of the key to financial prosperity. Do you know the master key to financial prosperity? I can give you the key. That one easy. Shall I give you? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Stop looking for money and start looking for God. Stop preaching about money. Stop changing the church into a bank. Stop changing the church into a motivational session. Stop pretending that Jesus came to this world to teach us about money. He did not. Jesus came to this world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. This is the number one reason why God so loved the world, that he gave his only son. It will never change into money. No matter the big pastor from America who is saying that Jesus spoke more about money than anything else. It's one of the most stupid statements I've ever heard, excuse me to say. I'm sorry, for saying that, but it's, to me, it is the most absurd thing you can have. Jesus came to talk about money. Where does he say so? Which part of Jesus is speaking more about money than anything else? Change things. You want it to sound so nice. You should hear the people preaching. Very nice, wonderful things sounding so fantastic. No. The Bible says that the sons of Zadok, they are special priests. It says when the whole of Israel went astray, the sons of Zadok remained faithful. You see, the whole Israel can go astray. It doesn't mean they are doing the right thing. It doesn't mean they are doing the right thing. The whole of Israel may go astray. It doesn't mean they are doing the right thing. The key to financial. If we did not have the key to financials, we would not be here. We are not asking you for anything. If you want to help, we always need them. We like help. We are thankful to Bishop Colin and Pastor Light, who are helping us. You don't have to give anything. Whether you give or you don't give, we are here. We flew. By the way, you cannot walk from Ghana to here. We flew. Yes. A lot of people. But what is going on? Keys. The key of knowledge. Key of knowledge. One of those keys is a book called He That Has. To him shall be given. It's all in this library. It's all in this library. It's all in this. All the books I'm showing you, they are in the library, except this one, A Good General. Why is it not in the library? Because it came after the library was made. He that has, to him shall be given. These are the words of Jesus. And he that doesn't have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Hey! This book contains the master keys to prosperity also, and the understanding of it. Jesus said, you have taken the key of knowledge. But you will give it to a pastor and he'll look and say, how much is it? Where was it printed? Okay. Anyway, I'll see you later. Bye-bye. Oh, you haven't seen it before? Pastors. This is one of the most mysterious statements, but it's true. Poor countries are getting poorer, and rich countries are getting richer. Don't listen to America and all this when they say they are broke. They are very rich. When they say they are poor, or they are broke, or their economy is going down, you don't understand. One supermarket in Togo, I say one supermarket in England, I read in a financial, I don't know what it's now, one supermarket, I read in a financial magazine, one supermarket in London, the turnover is more than the whole of a nation in Africa. One small nation in Africa. Yeah. In West Africa. Supermarket that sells sugar, milk, biscuits, whatever. They are getting more, and the poor are getting poorer. Why? You have to ask yourself why. This book answers that. I can't do that now. But if you want The keys. Amen. The next important reason why we must read. I'm sharing from chapter 24 of this book. Reading. Reading gives you a seed. A seed in your life. So reading gives you wisdom. Two, reading gives you the key of knowledge. Number three, reading gives you a seed. A seed is about to be planted in your life. That will change your life forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Look at me preaching. Look at me preaching to you in Kadoma. I mean, it's greater for me to be here than to be in America. You see, it's easier to go to America than to go to certain places. Yes, because if you go to preach in America, you get money, dollars, this, that, that, and so on. Many people, what are you going to get there? That is why Africans rarely visit other Africans to preach to them. When a man of God in Zimbabwe says, God has blessed me, I'm going abroad, usually it's to America or somewhere like that. Or it's not like that here. Yeah. At least in Ghana, it's like that. Here too, it's like that. Yeah. You never say a Zimbabwe person, oh, God has anointed me. I'm going to Mali on a mission. I'm going to Niger. I'm going to Kaduna in Nigeria. No? Pastors, Zimbabwe pastors? Is that what's happening? Yeah. But here I am. It's a great thing for me to be here. To go to towns, villages, wherever. Look. Yes, it's a great thing. Yes. When there is a big anointing on your life, you are able to preach to the poor, not to the rich. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. It takes more power to preach to the poor. More keys must be given to you before you can preach to the poor. That's for preaching to the rich, you know. Just give them 3 points on a screen here and we're moving. Many years ago, you know, somebody gave me a book, a small book. When I read the book, I said, wow, wow. That was a book by Kenneth Hagin. It's the best gift I've ever received in my whole life. Small, like half of this. Small book. When I read, I said, wow, I want to read more. I was a student. In school, and I became interested in Kenneth Hagin, and I started to find more things that he had. And then I found his preaching tapes, and I started to listen. Yeah, that's what changed my life. That's the greatest seed that has ever been sown in my life. And I started listening, reading, listening. I was amazed and blessed. Always blessed up till today. Kenneth Hagin. He's dead now. And I still listen. I have every sermon he has ever preached, I have on my thing. All from 1950, whatever, to the end. All. One night I was, you know, when I was in final year in my medical school. Are you listening? 1988. I had already been listening to him for about 10 years. I had to do a rotation in a rural area called Suhum. So I left the capital, like Harare, so from Harare to Kadoma. So I had to come from Accra to Suhum. So I went there for 1 month. To become a doctor, you have to do that. So it was my final year. Whilst I was there, one night I was praying, and Kenneth Hagin's tape was playing. And as he was playing to and fro, auto reverse, in the middle of the night, I initially fell asleep, but I woke up. And whilst I was on my knees praying, I woke up, and the tape was over there playing. Suddenly, something jumped out of the tape at about 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and entered me. I felt something coming into me in my stomach, in my belly. And then I heard a voice. The voice said, from today, you can teach. From today, you can teach. That was in 1988. It's about 27 years ago. 28 years ago. Yeah. And then another voice said, I will prove it to you. You see, he has been proving it to me. That's how come today I am in Kadoma teaching. Yes, he has been proving it to me. 2 weeks ago, I was in India, in Mumbai, preaching. The next moment, I was in Manila, preaching, teaching. He has been proving it to me. The anointing that came upon me that night is what made the difference in my life and ministry. Open, it was the greatest seed. From the day that I received the book till, you see, God was showing me somebody. He was trying to introduce me to somebody. And I was introduced. You know, in Ezekiel, he says, Son of man, see what you are seeing. Behold what you are beholding. For and set your heart on what I am showing you. Set your heart on what I'm showing you. I'd like to show you that if I can find it. Beautiful. Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 4. Many times God shows you something, but you don't set your heart on it. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, hear with your ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee. Set your heart on it. For to the intent that I might show them unto thee, art thou brought hither, and declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. Set your heart on what I show you. For this is what I have brought you here for, to show you something. Sometimes to show some of you, God brought you to this conference only to introduce me to you. Yeah. That may be the only thing. Yes. And thereafter, it's up to you. He says, behold with your eyes. See with your ears. See with your eyes. Behold. Hear. And set your heart on what I show you. But for this purpose, you are brought here to behold all that I'm showing you. Ezekiel 40 verse 4. Many people don't set their heart on what God shows them. God shows you something, but you don't set your heart on it. And so it doesn't benefit you. Hallelujah. Tell somebody the greatest seed. Yes. It's a book. Yes. Knowledge. Do we have a Makana here? Is it available? Makana. Preaching. God showed me something. He said, you receive the anointing by listening. Ezekiel 2 verse 2. Ezekiel 2 verse 2. He says, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. The anointing enters you when he speaks to you. So when you listen to preaching, many pastors don't listen to preaching. You don't listen to preaching. It's not a good way of becoming a minister. A minister must learn and develop the ability to listen to preaching, many, many preaching, different preaching all the time. Even this morning, I'm listening to it. Yesterday on my plane, I'm listening. I'm always listening to preaching. Even when I'm not listening, it's on. Listening all the time. In Acts 10:44, it says, and the Spirit fell on all of them who heard the word. When you are hearing the word, the Spirit is falling on you. This is a great seed. And that's why we made this available. If you are interested. Only if you are interested, it will be available. Outside, after. This is a great seed. Martin Luther. How many have heard of Martin? I'm ending. How many have heard of Martin Luther? You know how Martin Luther became famous? Most of you don't know. Catholic Church in those days were teaching penances. Like you are saved by seeing certain things. If you go to Rome, there were some steps. If you walk on it, you'll be saved. That was where they said Jesus stood
when he was being judged by Pontius Pilate. So when you stand there, you'll be saved. They had milk they were showing you. When you see that this milk is from the Virgin Mary's breast, when you see, you are saved. This tooth is from the lion, Daniel in the lion's den. This one, when you see, you are saved. Many things they were doing. Even I myself saw in Cologne, they had 3 coffins in the Cologne Cathedral in Germany. When I got there, I saw 3 golden coffins in the middle of the church. You know, at the front of the church. I said, what is this? They said, oh, these are the coffins of the 3 wise men who came to see Jesus. Right now, it is there. Golden shining. And you, when you see this, you are saved. So Martin Luther, the famous Martin Luther, he was struggling to be a Christian. And it was not easy for him because he felt he was so bad. Everything he does, he can see that he's falling. So one day, the senior pastor said, no, you are going mad. So the best thing for us to do is to put you in a Bible school to teach Bible students. That one, you can never do anything wrong. So they put him in a Bible school. And now, what was his duty? To be a lecturer. Lecture in what? They said, lecture the Bible, which Catholics were not reading much of. So which book in the Bible? Lecture Romans, Ephesians, and Psalms. These were the 3 books. So he started to read Romans and Ephesians. Then he saw for the first time, for we are saved by grace. He had not seen it. He didn't know it. When he saw, he said, wow! If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. What? He was shocked. So as he was reading, you see, you can have a book, but you don't read it. So it doesn't benefit you. So as he was reading more and more, he said, he was getting the key of knowledge. He was getting the wisdom. What wisdom is this? Mighty works. How manifold are thy works, O Lord? In wisdom thou hast made them all. He was getting the wisdom. He was getting the knowledge. Then after 2 years of soaking it in, he decided to summarize what he has learned and nailed it to the church door. And that is what began the famous Reformation. So the most famous, how many of you have heard of Martin Luther? You see, it's about 500 years since he died. You all know him. That's how to become very great, through books. By reading the famous book called the Bible, he became the famous Martin Luther that you know about. Only by reading. Only by reading. So when you set aside reading and you don't learn to read and to listen to preaching, because the Bible says God has given us apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors for the perfecting. It helps you. It perfects you and improves you in the ministry. Oh yes, I've been greatly blessed through Kenneth Hagin, Rick Joyner, people like that. Many, many fathers and pastors. Not so many, but a few. So God is giving you today the key of knowledge and the seed of knowledge. The seed. 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 Yes. Without a key, you cannot have the money you need for your ministry. Yeah, you will always be looking and reading and thinking that, oh God, why did you not make me an American? Most of us, if we were to choose where we were to be born, we wouldn't have chosen Zimbabwe. We would have chosen another country. If you were to say, choose your nationality. Most Africans would not have chosen Africa. Like when you have to take options of where to be born. I don't think most Ghanaians or Nigerians would have chosen Ghana. So God is blessing the church here, and he's blessing you. Amen. With a mighty... As we've come here, we are leaving behind the seed. And when we close, a book which costs... This is $10 for a book. $10. So 40 is $400. But especially for you, it's going to be given to you for $1 and about 20 cents for one book instead of 10. So it's going to be given to you for $50 for all this. Wow. Yeah. All the whole library. And this was printed, listen, that's how, this was printed and put specially in the library for you. Yes. So after we close, if you are interested, the man is counting money. You want one? You want to buy one for him? Wow. Bishop Colin is buying for somebody already. That's. Yeah. He's bought one for you. Wow. This is amazing. This is amazing. Please, look at Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse 4. The same verse you read.
Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 4. Lie thou also upon thy left side.
No. 40, verse 4.
Oh, sorry.
Son of man, behold with thine eyes, hear with thy ears, and set thine heart upon all that I show unto thee. Even when Bishop Collins stood up now and bought it, God is saying, behold with your eyes. Hear with your ears and set your heart on all that I'm showing you. God is showing you something. Even what he did is a key to prosperity. Yes. When he stood up, I said to myself, this is the key to prosperity, is giving. Giving is a key to prosperity. And sometimes you must give to yourself, like this Macarius. This book called the Macarius. You must give to yourself. Yes. You must. Bless yourself. Yes. Bless yourself. Each one of these, for listening and hearing, many of the things we are talking about are being preached about in this. All that you have is a USP. It's just this. Yeah. Yes. Many camp meetings. If I was giving a pastor a very good present, this. $25, I hear it is for one of these. All these things, there is nothing, there's no business, there's no profit. You calculate it. Bishop Collins is selling the books in Bulawayo. It's $10 or so for one book. That's why they are selling it. And I'm saying that we are giving it to you. And of course, that's the smaller book. The bigger books are more than $10. And we are giving the whole thing to you at $50 if you want it. We know that by the time we finish in Zimbabwe, all the stock we have will be finished. So you must get before it's finished. Yeah, because it will be out by the time. I hope even the last cities will have the blessing. Makaneh. Makaneh means camp. It's a Hebrew word. It means camp. The camp meeting, one day God, I spoke to the Lord. I said, Lord, which is the most anointed of my preaching? Is it crusade? Is it church? Is it this? He told me it's the camps. I said, why? He said, because of the effect it has. That's how I got all my pastors. Yes, all those who gave themselves to work for the Lord, they came to me through camps. Every camp I have, people turn towards the ministry. So all these products will be available if you are interested. Son of man, behold with thine eyes, look with your ears, set your heart on what I'm showing you. For this cause you were brought here to see what I'm showing you. Look, I don't know, it keeps coming to me, so I have to tell you this. You know, one day I was watching a film. There was a man who had a horse, a race horse. Did you used to have race horses? You still have it? You still have races? Horse races? And you have fast horses here? Well, we used to have, but we stopped having. My father used to have race horses. Anyway, this man had a very fast horse. And one day he surprised everybody and said, my horse will not run again. I'm keeping my horse for breeding. No running. So he advertised and he said, anybody who has a female, bring your horse to my champion. It was the champion of champions. To come and cross with my horse. Do you know how much he was charging for one weekend? No, I'm asking you, this is a riddle. Do you know how much he was charging for one weekend with his champion horse for crossing for one weekend? Do you know how much he was charging? Shall I tell you? This is the price he was charging for the seed. For his horse to give the seed to the female. $2 million for a weekend. Hey! This is expensive sex. It's the most expensive sex I've ever heard of in my life. $2 million for a weekend. Why? Because the seed is so valuable. The man was clever. People were coming. People were coming. And you see, when the horse runs, it's dangerous because he can fall down, he can be injured. But this one is calmly staying in the field when you bring yours, $2 million. I watched it, a documentary, real. So when that person put the book in my hand and said, oh, I have this little book, if you like, just gave it to you free. That's why I don't want my book. My books are not a business. If you buy it, I don't get anything from it. I don't like business. I'm not a businessman. You see, pastors today, they are so proud that they are doing business.
So I'm into gold mining and into platinum mining at the same time, doing whatever the ministry is, a crossover appeal.
They are so proud that they are businessmen and they are pastors. I don't want to be a businessman. I want to be a priest of God. We are not here to look for money. When the guy put this in my hand, free, he was giving me more than $2 million. All these crusaders think, well, do you know how much it costs? I won't bother you with the figures. You can do your own calculation. You can do your own calculation. Yeah. A book is more than your whole ministry. All my ministry, cars, this, that, everything. Check buildings. You see, the key, when we say it's a key, you have taken away the key. They can't go to the rooms. They are outside the rooms, always reading news and watching on television and say, wow, this man of God is great. Wow, this man of God. And God is showing you, I'm giving you the key. The anointing that God has given, the gift that God has given me is to help pastors to see how to do. It's not about this is good, but how do you do it? For people do, but they don't tell you how they did it. Most people, their ministry is mysterious. They will stand and say, God spoke to me. Jesus came to me and said, hey, you know me, Jesus has not yet come to me. I've been praying for it every day. Hey, when he comes, I will tell you about it. And one day I went somewhere to pray, and from early morning till evening, I closed my eyes. And I opened my eyes to see if he's in the room. He was not there. The whole day. Many times, Lord, will you come today? I feel he will come one day. But he has not come. I am going by faith. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Amen. So a book is the greatest. If you read it, by the way, if you not read it, it will just be an ornament. Because it's what is in it. And the preaching, that helps you to understand. Somebody said, when I listen to you preach and I understand what you are written more. Yes, that's how it is. Everybody like that. So God is lifting you up higher. And God is taking you deeper into the ministry. One day people will look at you and say, wow, what wisdom is this? In the days that Zimbabwe was even in difficulty, God raised you up to do things that people will be wondering that, Do you have a loan from somewhere? Is there an American? You know, people have said to me, oh, I hear Benny Hinn gave you. I said, Benny Hinn give me. Why would Benny Hinn give me money? Why would he give me money? Someone said, Yonggi Cho gave you so many million. I said, Yonggi Cho has never given even $1 to me before. Since I was born. Ever. I'd rather give him money. I'd rather sow money in his life. When I saw Benny Hinn, I'd rather sow a seed in his life. If he didn't give me, I'd rather give him. One day it will be said of you. When has this man this wisdom and these mighty words? Where did he get this from? And they will start asking, what wisdom is this? That such mighty works are wrought by him. Mighty works. God wants to use Zimbabweans. I say God wants to use Zimbabweans. God wants to raise up a mightier church in Zimbabwe. Whatever difficulty there is in your country is rather the catalyst to do great things for God. Some years ago, when Ghana was in great difficulty, I used to think, oh Lord, if only we had more money, we had more this, and the Lord said, no. Because of the difficulty, that's why even people believe in God. It rather has its advantages for the work of the Lord. So this is the time. John Wesley was a preacher in England when England was at the poorest. Now that England is rich, 95% of English people don't want anything to do with God. They are rather exporting homosexuality into the world. God is going to use Zimbabweans. God is going to bless you mightily. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering. The last little point that I want to make before I end this little session is that reading a book puts you in direct contact with the author. Amen. When you read, you come in direct contact with the person who is writing. Yes. You start to relate with the person in a way that you never would. I have read certain books for many years, and I know God has made me interact with them in a special way. Amen. And so today, you may not be able to see certain great people. But when they have written books, you know all that they are thinking. We all know Hitler was a hater of Jews from his book that he wrote. And we all know the things he hated because of what he wrote. You know somebody from the books the person wrote. So, many of us will say, oh God, if only I could meet this great man of God and spend 20 minutes. Let's count 20 minutes. If the great man of God was going to sit with you, and it's 12 o'clock now, 12:20, 12:40, 1 p.m., 1:40, no, 1:20, 1:40, 2 o'clock, 2:20, 2:40, 3 p.m., 3:20, 3:40. That's everybody 20 minutes. 3:40, 4 o'clock, 4:20, 4:40, 5 o'clock, 5:20, 5:40 for the last sister, 6 o'clock. By 6 o'clock, we'll be on the second row. 20 minutes meeting with everybody. When is your turn coming? Next year. Yes. Never happens. Thank God for books. Yes. You may think, oh, I'll have 10 minutes with this man of God. Even if I have the time, 10 minutes, we'll just do 2 rows. If I make it 5 minutes, we'll do 3 rows. Till evening time when we are supposed to start the crusade. So it's not easy to meet people and have me and you time for even 10 minutes. But through books, you can sit down and have a close interaction with a great person. And that's why God gives us books. And that's why Jesus came to this world, preached to us for 3 years, and left us a book for 2,000 years. And let me tell you, all of you who want to fight with me, I'll tell you something. Listen, all of us know God through a book. Where do you know God from? Where do you know Him from? I said, where do you know Him from? Is it not a book? Is it not the Bible? So it means that all our contact with God has been through a book. Yes. You haven't seen God before. I beg you. Is it not true? Where have you seen God? It's through the books. So when God is giving you even more books that are pointing to you to the real book, which is the Bible, then it means God is taking you nearer Himself and showing you more. What a blessing. A blessing for Kadoma, a blessing for the pastors of Kadoma, and a blessing for the church of Kadoma. Turn to Isaiah 60 as we close. Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. You know what?
Isaiah 60.
You know what, my dear? I'm going to read it myself. You lost your job. Arise and shine, Kadoma. Arise and shine. Why? Your light is come. You see, light is knowledge. Light is knowledge. Light is knowledge like that. Wow! Wow! And the glory of the Lord is risen upon. That's the anointing. Listen to verse 2. This is what you need to know. You see, when you are in Africa, never think you are at a disadvantage. What does it say? For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. In other words, there's going to be problems all over the earth. Huh? And gross darkness, like real difficulty. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. You see, in spite of the difficulty in the world, the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. May that come to pass in Kadoma, that the glory of the Lord is seen upon your lives. And it says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. Gentiles will come to the light that you have now. Gentiles. People you don't expect from all over are going to start flooding your church. And kings to the brightness of thy rising. Many kings will come and acknowledge that God is using you. I visited a president once in his house, and he said to me, when he walked into the living room, he said, "To what do I owe this honor?" Those were his words. "To what do I owe this honor that you came here?" Those were his words. Yes. Those were his words. I've been to many nations and been honored by the kings. Listen, Gentiles and kings shall come to thy rising. Yes. May you be honored by the king. May you rise and shine in Kadoma, no matter the kind of darkness that you are experiencing in this life. And through the power of God, you are lifted above every circumstance and above every situation by the power of the Lord. When the light comes, it will enter you and grow brighter. And your light is going to shine, and Gentiles will come to the brightness of your rising. May you rise truly in Zimbabwe. And may many point to you and point to the church and say, "Yes, the light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon us." upon us. Stand to your feet, everyone. Father, thank you for your word today. Thanks for your blessing. Thanks for your help. Thanks for your mighty Holy Spirit. Lift your hand and receive the grace of God, power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you. Mandola mashandala bakabaradala. Anoint every pastor here. Anoint us and use us mightily for mighty works. Thank you that the city of Kadoma and the great nation of Zimbabwe will never be the same again. Arise and shine, says the Lord. Your light has come. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You and your ministry. You and your calling. You and your children. You and the ones God has given as your divine assistants and divine helpers shall experience the glory of the Lord and the brightness of His rising on your life. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks for all that you have done in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, Amen. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering and you may be seated. How many are blessed today?